May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, with the encouragement of one of our parishioners, and also considering that the past Pope died yesterday, I will end the sermon in the Catholic format, but certainly in Protestant content. So we'll get there at the end. But first of all, we will think about a new year, which has started today. Maybe we are grateful for the past year, or maybe we are grateful that the past year is finally over. Maybe we look forward to the new year with expectation, maybe with trepidation. However that may be, here at the threshold to the new year is a point when we pause and reflect on what has been and look forward to what is yet to come. Time continues like an ever-rolling stream and also will bear us all away, as we'll sing later on. We cannot hold it back, but now and then we can at least contemplate its passing. In our first reading, the reading from Ecclesiastes, the teacher contemplated the flow of time and concluded that its swift passage undermines all our pretensions. Now, in our translation, this is summarized with the word meaningless. But in the original Hebrew, the word used is hevel, which means vapor or smoke. It's a metaphor for the fleeting and temporary nature of life here, and also for the way that we can never fully grasp life, nor control it or understand it. So here at the beginning of the book, the teacher looks at the passage of time. We may think that we can achieve something here on earth, that we can make a difference. But when we compare our effort and presence here on earth with the gradual processes in the natural world, we must realize how fleeting our life is. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Yes, in our modern times, we have brought change at astonishing speed, also change to the natural environment. But many of the processes continue as they have from time immemorial. And the processes that we have managed to change often have not changed for the better, with severe negative consequences for the well-being of people and of other ecosystems. So in this warning, the teacher aims at those who are proud of their own past achievements, but equally at those who think that the next great break is just around the corner. If we look at the passage of time with some realism, then all our achievements, whether present or future, are nothing we can hold on to. In a sense, the teacher is even more topical today than a few decades ago, I think, because the value young people place on achievements or on making a difference is certainly higher today than it was for many people in the last century. This is well expressed by the country music group Lady Antebellum, now known as Lady A, in their song, I Was Here. You will notice me, I'll be leaving my mark like initials carved in an old oak tree. You wait and see, maybe I'll write like Twain wrote, maybe I'll paint like Van Gogh, cure the common cold, I don't know, but I'm ready to start, 'cause I know in my heart I want to do something that matters, say something different, something that sets the whole world on its ear. I want to do something better with the time I've been given, and I want to try to touch a few hearts in this life and leave nothing less than something that says, I was here. And yet Ecclesiastes said, there is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Well, maybe the teacher was wrong. After all, we still remember, for example, Julius Caesar, Hildegard von Bingen, Mark Twain, or Vincent van Gogh. Yes, we still remember quite a few people, but that memory itself is quite fickle. The way we assess Julius Caesar, for example, now is certainly not how many people would have seen him in his day, nor how his name was remembered in the later Roman Empire, or how he was remembered by the learned after the Enlightenment. Today, some criticize his military ambition, his ruthlessness, and probably rightly so. Today, sometimes he's more a cartoon figure with a laurel wreath around his head. Our knowledge of his time and significance is generally embarrassingly shallow. Or Hildegard von Bingen was a mystic nun of the 12th century, and she is probably appreciated today more than for many years after her death. Nevertheless, she is also probably more misunderstood today than at any other time, as the concerns of our modern world, especially progressive feminism, are mixed with her own understanding that was shaped by her time and her place. With constantly shifting viewpoints and through that, the revision of history, even the greatest names will be reassessed. We never know what legacy we will leave and how it will be viewed late in later years. As we know only too well, the statues are often toppled. What was once regarded the right side of history is later seen as the wrong side. What was once seen as decent is later seen as an example of corrupt systems. In the end, Ecclesiastes is largely right. Most of us leave little to no memory, and for those whose memory endures, its value constantly shifts. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, will bear us all away, and we pass, forgotten as a dream, dies with a dawning day. That is also, in a sense, the message that Ecclesiastes gives us, and we need to remember that, not shrink away from it. But it is not the final conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, nor the final conclusion of the Bible. In Ecclesiastes, there are many pieces of advice to make something out of this transitory life. For example, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there's neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. And the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes comes in the last few verses. Now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of humans. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Once we know that we cannot create meaning, purpose, and permanence by our own strength, then we are free to look to God for our meaning, purpose, and ultimate destiny. Then we can become part of an overarching story, part of a bigger purpose. Then our hope is set on God's promises, not on some vague notion of progress or feel-good desperation that the new year will be somehow better than the last. One such person who set his hope on God's promises was Simeon, who waited for the consolation of Israel. It was a long wait. And when he saw the fulfillment, it was only incipient, for he only saw a baby that had not done anything notable yet. Still, here was true hope and true purpose. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Simeon knew that he had arrived at the time of his death. But for him, that was not a cause for despair, because he saw the greater purpose of God. That hope carried him through time. For now the time had been fulfilled. It was not just an ever-rolling stream. Here was a point in time that redeemed all time. He knew that time has direction and a goal. That is clear through the coming of Jesus. God's promises are already at work here and now, but they go beyond time. For God is also the God of time, holds time in his hands. In him our lives receive meaning. In him our past is held and our future is already assured. Not because we can expect that the future is necessarily happier, more prosperous, more fulfilling, healthier, or more assured than the past, but because just like the past, the future is in God's good hands. The future is already assured because, like the past, it is from God and finds its end in God, and because through Jesus Christ, God has already brought meaning and purpose to this world and will bring time to an end. Our reading from the Gospel of St. Luke mentions proper times within the early life of Jesus. Through the passage of days, it attains a certain rhythm. So after 8 days, we are told Jesus was circumcised and named. When mother and baby had completed the time of purification, namely 40 days, they went to the temple to dedicate the baby. In the never-ending passage of times, these set points give us anchor points to also remember God's faithfulness. New Year's Day is maybe such an anchor point when we look honestly at the passing of time. It seems in the Anglican Church there is not quite the emphasis on marking this and getting philosophical about it, as there is in continental Lutheran churches. And so I could only find two hymns that fit this occasion particularly well. We already sang one, and we'll sing the other one in a moment. In the German church, there are several hymns that mark the passing from one year to the next, that describe the passage of time. Many of these hymns were written in the early 1940s, when the world seemed God-forsaken, but faithful people nevertheless put their hopes in God when all earthly hopes had ceased. One of these hymns was written as a poem by the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer on the last day of the year 1944, while he was in prison. It was one of the last surviving writings which his parents and his fiancée received. A little later, he was transferred to another prison and executed. Nevertheless, at such a time of apparent loneliness and despair, he felt God's presence, and his prison cell felt comforted by angels. So, Hank, if you can bring up the... And I'll sing it to you. Surrounded by such true and gentle powers, so wondrously consoled and without fear, thus will I spend with you these final hours, and then together enter a new year. By gentle powers lovingly surrounded, with patience we'll endure, let come what may. God is with us at night and in the morning, and certainly on every future day. The worries of the old year still torment us. We are troubled still by long and wicked days. O Lord, give our frightened souls the healing to which your love leads us in many ways. By gentle powers lovingly surrounded, with patience we'll endure, let come what may. God is with us at night and in the morning, and certainly on every future day. And thou, you offer us the cup so heavy, so painful it's the most that we can stand. Not faltering with thanks, we will accept it and take it as a gift from your good hand. By gentle powers lovingly surrounded, With patience we'll endure, let come what may. God is with us at night and in the morning, and certainly on every future day. And should it be your will once more to grant us to see the world and to enjoy the sun, then we will all the past events remember, and finally our life with you is one. By gentle powers lovingly surrounded, with patience we'll endure, let come what may. God is with us at night and in the morning, and certainly on every future day. Lass warm und still die Kerzen heute flammen, die du in unsere Dunkelheit gebracht. Für wenn es sein kann, wieder uns zusammen, wir wissen es, dein Licht scheint in der Nacht. Von guten Mächten wunderbar geborgen, erwarten wir getrost, was kommen mag. Gott ist mit uns am Abend und am Morgen und ganz gewiss an jedem neuen Tag. As heavenly silence now descends upon us, may we then hear the full and glorious sound of all your children giving praise forever, and all the unseen worlds that are surround, by gentle powers lovingly surrounded, with patience we'll endure, let come what may. God is with us at night and in the morning, and certainly on every future day.